Hey, good morning, Sheldon.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Scott?
Doing great. And you're in Mount Shasta today.
Am coming to you from Mount Shasta, from actually Shasta Dave's place. It's called Shasta Mount Inn and Spa.
That's a beautiful place.
It's awesome. Absolutely stunningly beautiful.
And that's in northern California,
Yeah, so
almost to Oregon.
a little bit closer to you, Scott.
Yeah, wow, I can feel
Feel the
it.
vibration of the closeness.
I feel it, man. It's almost overwhelming. I'm lightheaded. Literally. And good day, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to those that are listening either live or maybe on the recording later. And again, we're going to be talking. We've got a cool topic because you're in Shasta today, Sheldon. We're going to be talking about spiritual places that we've been to, but we would definitely love to hear if there's anybody out there that would like to talk about your favorite spiritual place. And of course, we'll be tying it all back to A Course in Miracles. But you can call in live to the show at 888 888 888 627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And you get to talk to Sheldon live.
And Scott, yeah.
All right. So yeah, I can't wait to we'll definitely talk about Shasta and other places that we've probably been to or maybe would like to be go to or have heard of, and then tying it back into forgiveness and A Course in Miracles.
And how we look at that, yeah, through a perspective of Course in Miracles, right?
Yeah.
And how does that work?
Exactly.
Or does it?
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe
Wow.
it doesn't.
Nice cliffhanger. Is that what they call it in the biz? I don't know.
But before we get to that,
Yes.
but
We will go.
before,
We have our little format here, right? We do our
which we
Course in
have not
Miracles
changed.
quotes, which, yeah, and I don't know if we will. I like it. Works. I think it works. So we'll do quotes, and then Sheldon, you'll do a guided meditation for us and bring in all that great Shasta energy.
Oh, okay. So we're doing the quotes first. I always forget.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Go ahead
But
and read your quote, Scott.
okay, I am excited about this one. So this is from the text, chapter 15, section 9, paragraph 7. When the body ceases to attract you, and when you place no value on it as a means of getting anything, then there will be no interference in communication, and your thoughts will be as free as God's. As you let the Holy Spirit teach you how to use the body only for purposes of communication and renounce its use for separation and attack with the ego, season it, you will learn you have no need of a body at all.
There you go.
That's one of those in your face quotes
Doozies.
that some people might accidentally glance over.
Because it's kind of
It's,
a lot to take in.
yeah. And it goes against everything most of us have been taught our whole lives.
So we'll have to just let that one sink in for another day because I can't handle it.
Because you're already out of your body at Mount Shasta.
I have had enough. So, what's mine?
Do you want me to guess or?
Here we go. I think it says page 132, but I'm doing this online because I left my homework at home. And it says, when you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. For in him, you will find yourself or lose yourself. Bam!
Wow.
I like that one, actually.
That is beautiful.
It is beautiful. So when you meet anyone, remember it's a holy encounter. As you see him, you'll see yourself. For you either lose yourself or find yourself in him.
Yeah, I always like to think that A Course in Miracles can be misinterpreted. I think it has been misinterpreted as law of attraction, but it kind of is, but it's more of law of attraction at the spirit level and God level.
Well, we're misinterpreting it. constantly, right?
Every day. Yeah. And that's why it's tricky, right? Because the whole idea is we're all really one. What we think we see as separate bodies is not true. And if you continue to buy into that, then that's what you're going to perpetuate. Versus if you look at your brothers and sisters as spirit, then eventually you will become spirit because that's what you're holding in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Boom.
That's what I've heard. I don't know. We'll find out.
Says something about that. Unity, oneness, something.
It is beautiful, though. When you think about it, it's so very simple and beautiful, but it's not easy to do at right. times. And sometimes it's really easy to do.
For sure. All right. So should we go into this meditation?
Take us there, Sheldon.
Bringing in the Shasta vibe. All right. So as we always say, if you're driving or doing something that actually requires your focus and attention, you might not want to do this, but you can do it later. But if you can, would love it if you joined us. Just make yourself comfortable sitting down or whatever position is comfortable and relaxing for you. Take a nice deep inhalation. And as you exhale, you're releasing all the thoughts, all the tension out of the physical body, letting go of the thoughts from the mind stream, and just resting into this present moment. Feeling the space in your heart opening. As you're allowing spirit to awaken within you, the divine spark. As you allow, you're igniting the spark, and it becomes a flame that grows within the center of your heart. Filling you with the radiance of divine light, vibration that sometimes feels like heat. A flame that burns off the infection of old wounds. It purifies, it's like sterilizing the body. Flame of purification, of transmutation, of release. Flame of unconditional love. Love that is beyond the ability of the mind to comprehend. Let that purifying, healing flame engulf you now. flames from within your heart, radiating light and love from within your body. And the flame surrounding you, the violet flame that surrounds you. They all come from the same source. One in light, one in love. Reminding you of your wholeness, your innocence, your purity. So, as we wiggle our toes, bringing our awareness back into this physical body, moving the body, reawakening the physical, and we say thank you for the time of communion, of oneness, of remembering, of healing, of release. We give thanks. And that's it.
Thank you, Sheldon.
You're welcome.
Oh, really good.
Cool.
So when you're doing the guided meditation, do you kind of go through it yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's actually, do you? You do, right?
Not all the time. Mostly I don't, actually. Or it's maybe half and half.
I'm pretty in it. I was always, when I started doing leading meditations, I was shocked, actually, at how deep I could get while I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel almost any different at all for me doing it myself and quietly or just saying stuff. Like, it just comes out and whatever. It's actually, I'm in pretty good.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, actually. And I was just like, wow, this is kind of Mount Shasta related, right? Violet flame, flames and all this stuff. I was just whatever's coming out.
Yeah. That's definitely very Shasta-esque.
Yeah, it's totally Shasta. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, wow. All right. There you go.
Well, that's why, I think that's why I'm actually excited about our show topic today, because, you know, I do think it's a good thing. And this, you know, I learned this one as a life coach. Sometimes you ask people to change literally their geography, which when you're coaching someone, it could be getting them to stand up and walk around or do something simple. But I think, like in the spiritual world, by physically going and even visiting other places, it can really help either break you out of old habits or just kind of shift you into a new place that you probably would not have gone to, you know, in your physical location where you live. So I think it's very useful, helpful thing to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
What does the Course in Miracles say about that? Or does it?
It doesn't, right? Because, I mean, the Course is all about you practice forgiveness no matter where you're at. Which is why sometimes when you go to spiritual places, you might get more than you bargain for. You know, you might be going there thinking, oh, I'm going to either go to like some cool conference or a class or just hang out and it's all going to be peaceful and bliss. But sometimes crazy stuff opens up for you.
Absolutely.
And the Course's answer to all of that is you just, you're always, you forgive, you forgive, you forgive.
Mm-hmm. But the Course actually doesn't necessarily, say that one place can have a different energy than another, or does it acknowledge that? Or
no, I was literally doing a search on the word place, and it never really refers to physical place.
Right.
It's always talking about more metaphysical place, spiritual place, your place with God. But it doesn't really talk about like your physical place, because again, I think the Course would say none of that would matter, really. But I think at a practical level, it does. And that's where I think, you know, it's a fine line between walking the non-duality of the Course, and then you're still going to live your life, right? And mm-hmm. I think most of us want to live our quote-unquote happy dream. Like I'm in alignment with Gary Renard. I know he ultimately would like to live in Hawaii. I would love to do that as well, but that's just not in the cards for him or for most people right now. And you know, you're going to physically live in certain areas that you're either written into your own life script or just kind of might feel right for you for right now.
And I think it's kind of the same with the body, right? It's basically saying the body's not real.
Yeah. But it can be used. It's your
on a certain level. That's what it's saying. But then on the practical level, you have to acknowledge and work with it, right?
Right. Because, you know, we're all slowly waking up from the dream that we've created. So you're going to be in the dream. So if you're in the dream, you're going to deal with all the stuff related to a body and all the rules that we seem to have related to a body until, like, you know, a lot of the Course says, until you're literally free, then none of that will actually matter. You're just going to go about living your life and nothing pretty much will bother you. But that's, I don't know very many people that have reached that stage other than true ascended masters. Unless, do you know of any, Sheldon?
My buddy Fred over at work.
Really?
Just kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, man, that guy's floating. You know, it's... How are you in the world and not of it? That's the kind of thing for me, right? And the Course is talking always, you know, it's not about leaving the earth and ascending or disappearing or whatever, or making the world disappear. It's about being fully present, full embodiment of the light of Christ in the moment that you're experiencing, which is here on earth in a body.
Mm-hmm.
And that radiance that is your truth and your real reality, allowing that to express itself fully through this dimension, whatever you want to call it, illusion, whether you know you call it an illusion or whatever, that how do you allow that to express itself unhindered, fully wide open, you know, now?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have to acknowledge and be aware of the body itself and how it's reacting and responding as you're doing that. In other words, if it calls to eat differently, if it calls that you know, you're sick and you have to, you know, take care of the body, you have to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that also, to me, allows for that if you're in a space that doesn't feel good or that doesn't make you feel safe, that you might need to move or change location or be in a place where the vibration feels different until you get to the place where there is no variance in vibration, which, you know, could be. Take some time. So
yeah,
I don't know, it's an interesting thing to it.
That's why I think there needs to be a balance, you know, like spending the time in the physical world, but then also, you know, carving time away to devote, you know, literally space and time devoted back to spirituality, back to God, back to source, right? Which is why I do think, you know, like visiting places like a Shasta, or I know my wife Mary and I love to go to like Sedona. There's certain areas that might speak to people where you can just get away and refocus, because mm-hmm. the course is great to help you go through your day-to-day stuff, but sometimes, you know, we're just go, 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 go. And I think it's really good to plan in those spaces and time to, you know, to connect, you know. I'm realizing I haven't been connecting or meditating as much as I'd like to recently, and I want to do that more, right? So I got to create that time in my schedule to just sit, even if it's for 15 minutes, and just communicate with Holy Spirit, communicate with God, and just have that. Because when I go through my day, I'm trying to practice forgiveness, but sometimes you're just go, 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 and it's not on the forefront of your mind.
Right. There was a... was it a Buddhist little saying or some monk said, you know, you should meditate for 20 minutes a day, but if you're too busy, if you find yourself too busy, then meditate for an hour. it was something like that. It's like, oh, try to meditate for 20 minutes a day. And if you can't, then meditate for an hour.
Yeah, and I think that's that time issue is a big thing, especially in our world. People are like, oh, I don't have the time, right? I don't have the time. And that's why I think some of the other course teachers I've heard of is like, well, you know, just even when you wake up in the morning, spend just like a couple minutes, a few minutes, like, because that still goes way longer than immediately jumping into your physical world and just go, go, go. Even if you spend a few minutes, even a few seconds, just always try to find that space and time to connect with back to God.
And the course, the beauty of the lessons as a mind training program, which is what it says it is, you know, helping you to reconnect and to source from that place throughout your day. So it increases the frequency and intervals of the training, if you will, or of the thoughtful awareness part of the lessons. It increases the frequency of that. And the whole idea of that is that throughout the day, you're remembering to the point where eventually you're almost remembering always.
Yes.
And you know, you might flip, you might fall out, but you're always, it's like this subtle remembrance that's always in the back of your mind and in your heart as you're moving forward throughout your day, regardless of what decisions you're making, regardless of activity level. And that's the thing I think that for me is like, it has nothing to do with activity. You can be incredibly busy and still be deeply and profoundly connected. That's
true.
That's what I would say is the trick. That's the challenge, right? Because it's that's easy.
Yeah, I remember reading some of the Buddhist stories. There was one that always stuck out for me, which was a very quiet Buddhist monk, and all the other monks were, you know, didn't treat him very well, but he became enlightened before all of them, and all he did is he swept the floors, and I think he made food for them, but he was so connected all the time that he achieved enlightenment before they did, and they were too busy making fun of him and suddenly realized that he was a master one day, and then realized that they needed to humble themselves a bit more.
I believe the guy that I see is like a spiritual teacher, Bishop Michael. I think he had a story that was apparently true, and I believe it had to do with some, I can't remember the details of the monastery or what order it was, but the guy in the kitchen, right, was fully enlightened or whatever, and people started going to him. And they would go to, you know, we weren't going into the head monk and everything. They're going back into the kitchen and talking to this guy as he's like prepping veggies or whatever, right? And created all kinds of turmoil and stuff like that, right? Because he wasn't supposed to be the one, but, you know, people felt it. Mm-hmm. So they were, you know, seeking guidance from him.
Yep. And speaking of feeling it, so what draws you to Shasta? Like, how did you start going, and what have you gotten out of visiting Mount Shasta area? And specifically, you're at the, I think I'm the same place I've been to, right? The Shasta Mount Inn?
Shasta Mount Inn Spa and Resort, I believe. If you Google like Shasta Dave, And mm-hmm. it's the Shasta Mount Inn Spawn Retreat. Yeah.
Yeah, ShastaMountInn.com.
So Dave Knowles is the proprietor of the place. He's the owner of it. It's been like his passion and life calling, I think, to have created this space and to host people. They come here from all over the world to visit Shasta, and he provides this just incredible, beautiful space and energy of love and compassion and understanding. And I think it's a healing center for people. I think people come here from all over the world and they just are transformed and healed just by mm-hmm. being here. You're the one who actually turned me on to it. You know, I think you had been here and we were talking about, and I actually think the first time I ever saw Mount Shasta, we were going to see Gary Renard.
Well, and I was going to say the funny coincidence of all this is that we met Dave at that Gary Renard event. He was there.
Oh, yeah.
And I had just gone there, and I was like, oh, my God, I know that guy. He runs the Shasta Mount Inn, and we had a nice conversation with him. He's just a beautiful man, beautiful spirit.
Do you remember that? I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. I clearly remember it because I was freaked out. I'm like, oh, my God, I just stayed here, and now this guy's at a Gary Renard event. That's amazing.
So we all went up and talked to him?
I don't know if we all did. I remember mentioning like, oh my God, that's the guy. And then I thought it was funny that you guys now have started going to his bed and breakfast, which is absolutely beautiful. The food's amazing.
Yeah.
Place is amazing. And it's beautiful view of the mountain.
I remember when we were driving back from Oregon from seeing Gary Renard and we stopped off at Mount Shasta to get gas.
Okay.
And we were all sitting there at the gas station looking up at the mountain going, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
wow.
Majestic.
We ought to come back here sometime. And I think it was probably it's been, 5-6 years later before I actually did it. Mm-hmm. But Jacqueline and I came out here 4 years ago for the first time. And then the group of, Colleen and Sandra and Ellie did twice. It's been our third year doing that, I think.
Okay.
So we've made it one of our retreat places for us. There's when we talk about spiritual places, I mean, a lot of people all over the world think Shasta is like one of the root chakra of the planet and stuff like that. And it's a vortex. And there's all kinds of legends and lores about Lemuria, Telos, all the kinds of stuff about the mountain and the place and the sacredness of it. You want to just keep it simple. It's stunningly beautiful. It's beautiful, just beautiful just to look at. And there is, for me, I don't really get into all the other stuff, but there is something about the vibration of the place. Mm-hmm. That it feels like it's easier to get into a deeper level of meditation here.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, it's just because it's quieter. you're not at work, and so if you went anywhere. But, we love it, especially with Shasta Dave and his place and everything that he's created here. It's just an amazing place to come and just sort of get away from the world and like you were saying, kind of reconnect and definitely stuff comes up for us here and it ends up being like a healing place, a place that's safe for stuff to come up. Because I think that's one of the things when you look at healing and you look at your process of spirituality and growth is always about healing, right? It's about looking at why do I have a trigger? If somebody says something and it offends you or whatever and you're triggered, it's not that stopping them from ever saying that again, don't ever say that, or removing yourself so you're never around people. And you can do that temporarily. Those are things that might need to happen. You might need to remove yourself from that space at that moment or, period of time. But there has to be a point of looking inside and saying, why did I get so triggered anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And the trick about that for most of us is we need to be able to be in a space where we feel safe enough to even ask that question.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you can be safe enough to be anywhere and ask that question and do it within your own mind and your own heart. And it doesn't take time or it doesn't take a place, but for most of us, especially in the earlier beginning stages, you need a place. You need a surrounding of people. That's why it's Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, right? The Sangha is the community. You need that community of people that you feel safe with, that you can sit there and spill out or process your deepest wounds, your deepest fears, you know, all of the ugly stuff that comes up.
Yeah, I think that's one of the draws to a lot of these, you know, quote unquote spiritual centers, is that they're been well known and documented as energy vortices. And I think that's what surprises most people. They hear of spiritual places, but I think they're really surprised when they show up and all of a sudden all this stuff they thought they've healed or were over gets stirred up again. And they go, whoa, wait a second. That's not what I was expecting, but it's pretty common.
I wanted to bliss out. Which you don't get the bliss out until you release all the crap.
Yeah. Right.
That's surrounding the bliss.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to go through that and release all that first, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It definitely, it's beautiful. And, you know, this particular physical space has so much love and so much, I don't know, it holds that space for us. So we've been coming here for, I guess, 4 years now, Jacqueline and I. And, you know, yeah, we love it. Absolutely love it. And it does, the interesting thing is, you know, you could call it an escape from your daily life and it's a slice of heaven and all this other stuff, but you're still, like we're saying, you're still processing your stuff. You're still looking at what's coming up and stuff still comes up. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, more of it comes up, like we're saying, because of the vibration, because of that, more stuff comes up faster.
Yeah. I know the more I've talked to you, I've spent, again, Mary and I, we've spent a lot of time in Sedona as well. And that's a very common story. You know, we hear like, oh, people fall in love. They're here for a few days. They love it. They move here and then they pretty much get chewed up and spit out and they're gone. Right. You know, a lot of these spiritual communities see that because, again, these are very intense, energetic places that, you know, you need to keep in mind. Like you said, obviously things are going to be accelerated there. And maybe if you're really mindful and aware and have a good base spiritual practice, then you could probably do well there. Or sometimes you'll be like, wow, this is too intense for me. I need to just get in, get out, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
I think we were talking, I know the last time actually I stayed at Dave's place, I went there with the intention, I think, of doing some writing or even some channeling. And I was getting like intense headaches, so I couldn't even do that. I had to just relax and lay low and just mm-hmm. enjoy the beauty of the area, but I didn't get done what I wanted to get done, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like your plans get shucked aside.
Pretty much, yep. But I do think like areas like that, like picking up crystals from those areas, I know, again, like Mary and I are into that kind of stuff, and for me, I don't know about you. I definitely feel crystals, and I do mm-hmm. feel that crystals that have at least been sitting in that area or from that area, I mean, they're pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can be very useful when you take them home. And you, like, if you have trouble concentrating or meditating, sometimes having those crystals and bringing them back is a great way to connect and meditate a lot easier. And again, that gets back to the course thing. So, you know, the whole point is if you can quiet your mind and connect back with God, you know, these little tools can help you do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's all like vibration and frequency. So, mm-hmm. and do those things vibrate and carry a frequency that tunes in your body to a frequency, they absolutely do, right? They absolutely do. I guess it's become sometimes where people get so caught up in it, then they don't want to go anywhere without their crystal or something like that. That kind of thing, I think if you're looking at it as a tool or something to help you heal, something to help you release stuff, mm-hmm. something that, you know, you might work with on occasion, but I think that sometimes people get attached to them in a way that might not be as healing for them as they might want, and not necessarily, it's like almost like giving up your power. Like, oh, I got to use that crystal versus what is my own internal light do. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I think that there is a balance with all, just like everything in the world, right? There's always a balance. There's always a polarity. And that's what this dimension is dimension of polarity. And so there's a balance that has to happen there. But there absolutely is some beautiful and potent, you know, transformations that can happen using those things, stones and crystals. I definitely feel it. I definitely feel them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously anything physical from A Course in Miracles perspective is really meant to be used as a tool to heal your mind and to join back with God. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, if you're maybe using it as a way, as a distraction, then, you know, it's not good or bad. It just, that's what's going on for you. And it might take you longer to heal and connect back fully with God. Because the Course is, again, I love it how non-dualistic it is. It's basically like you're either with God or you're not. Everything else is just a distraction, and it's taking you longer to get to the ultimate goal that we'll all achieve, which is being back, our full memory back with God.
Mm-hmm. And it also talks about what the happy dream.
Mm-hmm. Being, yeah.
And it says that a mind at peace is no small feat. So for me, it's kind of like baby steps, right? Just like mind at peace, feeling more joy, more light, more love in the everything that you do. You know, whether it's hanging out with your family, hanging out with friends, you know, all of the going to work, you know, finding the joy, finding the light and the joy and the happiness in everything throughout your day, whatever that day is comprised of. And that comes from being connected as you're moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. Moving forward through the day. And that is, you know, the Course calls it the happy dream, I think, right?
Yeah.
So you're still in the, you know, you're still here, you're still, but you're at peace. And so therefore you're feeling, you know, joyful and happy. And the things of the world you're not caught up in. You're sourcing from inside you, so you're not caught up, so they're not triggering you as much.
Yep, exactly.
But that's a process, right?
It is. It is, yeah. And that's why, again, I think, you know, it's a mix of, while we're here in the physical world, kind of balancing it out and trying to figure out what's the best thing for you to pursue or follow or try or not try. And that's why I, again, because our show topic today is kind of visiting spiritual places. I'm curious, are there other places in the world that you would like to visit because of their spiritual nature, I guess?
I'd like to go back to Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
New Mexico is supposed to be pretty cool. I am going to, Jacqueline and I are going to Ireland and France and Italy, right, for a big vacation we got planned in September, and I was hoping to hit Mary Magdalene's cave.
You're going to
Ireland?
Ireland. There's a she has a cave there. I didn't know that.
No, it's in France. We're going to Ireland, right. France.
Yeah,
France.
That's the place I was going to mention. I would love to go to. Yeah, it's like it's not south Provence, is it?
It's something like that. South of France somewhere. Is a cave that she spent, what, 40 years or something like that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to mention, because that's kind of what I'm trying to roll into the novel that I'm writing, is the fact that she was such an enlightened master that she didn't require food and water for much of her later part of her life because she was so connected to God.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I've been reading. And it feels right to me, because I think, you know, like even in the Gary Renard books, they mention how she was pretty much just as enlightened as Jesus was at the time of his death and resurrection. And she just really needed to forgive his crucifixion. And then when she did that, she was basically done. And she was able to live several years of her life in her body, but she was so connected to God that that's why I think the main reason why she's recognized as a saint in the church, the Catholic Church, because that was one of the real documented things that happened with her that remained in her history. Everything else got wiped away,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. Yeah.
It's totally interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a huge, there's a Mary Magdalene thing going on right now. Just everything about her, sometimes it makes me want to weep. Just how beautiful that her story is. And it's too bad that it was written out of history, but.
It actually has made me cry a bunch of times. Yeah. You and I talked about the JM channeling of where he's taught, where Jeshua's coming through him and talking about Mary Magdalene. You heard that one, right?
Yeah, I listened to that. Yeah, it's very beautiful.
It's beautiful.
A lot of love. Yeah.
And he says, like, if there's no one, he's like, if I could, quote unquote, look up to somebody, you know, he's like, if I could do that, there was no one that I, you know, more fully embodied the light of Christ while in human form than her. Like, nobody. And you're like, whoa, right? And then it hits you in the heart. And then you go, and yet her history was so perverted and distorted, you know, by a patriarchal society that she becomes a prostitute.
Wow.
That's how she's written off. And you're like, it makes you cry. You know what I mean? It literally is like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it right now. It's like, oh, that's intense.
Yeah.
And then people are saying that that is the divine feminine that is coming back into the plant right now. So that there's a, that's why so many people are being like, there's all kinds of stuff about Mary Magdalene that's popping up right now. And so you're writing a novel, your novel involves her?
Yeah. I mean, I'm rolling in, you know, the stuff from the Gary Renard books. Like I wrote to him and said, hey, do you mind if I use some of the stuff that his ascended master has mentioned about Jesus and Mary? Cause I'd like to write a novel, you know, about kind of really what I would consider Jesus's message that was probably more accurate back then, that probably got distorted over time, that's related to A Course in Miracles, right? And so I think a big part of that story is the fact that they loved each other physically, but yet were extremely spiritually advanced. And Mary was also an equal teacher by her own right, and just showing that story, kind of rewriting that story again.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been so far, you know, I think I'm like, maybe I've only written like 30% of it, but it's been a great experience so far. I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Are you connecting with Mary Magdalene as you write this?
Not quite. It's interesting that you asked that. Like, I've kind of been playing around with that, and for whatever reason, I'm not getting like direct messages, but for me, and I don't know about you, but when, and I was taught some of this by a guy at, it wasn't Shasta's, Mount Adams, but like teaching you how to connect with like different energies like that and how they might show up for you. For me, when I connect with Mary Magdalene, I just, for whatever reason, my right ear kind of buzzes. It's strange, but that's what happens for me.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of how I know I'm sort of connecting with her, her energy or her archetypal energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. That's super cool. And I do think that that's, you know, that's part of the planetary transition, whatever you want to call it. It's shifting vibration frequency. You know, the Course does say, trying to keep it, you know, related to the Course does say that we all heal together, right?
Yeah.
And the sonship will return, you know. The sonship, which is the separated aspect of the Christ, the sonship returns together, and we all return together as brothers and sisters. We all have to heal, and we all return together, basically, right?
Yeah,
that's what it says. So it kind of fits that then, if there's an individual awakening, there's also a group awakening, and as there's a group awakening, there's a planetary awakening.
Yes.
And that all of that happens together.
I think it does. And again, I do think, you know, people in your lives, or again, even the spiritual places that we've mentioned, can play a vital role in helping you wake up or being directed. I mean, I really feel like sharing this. For me, I mean, Sedona is where I was introduced to A Course in Miracles.
You know, there you go. Yeah.
It was interesting. I completely forgot about this, but I had gone out to Mesa, Arizona for work, and I just had this deep feeling, like, you need to rent a car and go up to Sedona, just get a reading. And I did that. Just real quickly, it was like a left. We got out of work early or something. Or it was a weekend, a Saturday, and I just drove up quickly and was able to get this one psychic who I eventually ended up kind of staying with and visiting with throughout a couple years. And at the end of that reading, which blew me away, she said, "You need to buy A Course in Miracles. Go downstairs and buy it right now." I was like, "Oh, okay." And you know, the rest was history, at least for me. So it's pretty amazing, right? Just that connection like that, and just, you know, feeling those hits and going with those intuitive moments. And to me, I felt like that's how Holy Spirit can work sometimes, sort of like, hey, you know, you might want to go up to Sedona, like right now, and just follow those. Awesome. Yeah.
I was realizing, I was sharing this with Sandra the other day, that I had went into a bookstore, and this was like maybe 10 years before I actually bought the course. Mm-hmm. And it was before the drug phase and everything. And I was doing a lot of Taoist kind of stuff. I was into the I Ching and Qigong and all that Chinese Kung Fu, Kung Fu and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I went in there one day, and it had a lot of spiritual books in this bookstore, and it was a used bookstore. And there was a book, and it was Alice Bailey's Esoteric Healing. And it was like volume 2, and it was blue with gold lettering. And I said, "This isn't the book, but I'm supposed to buy a book that's blue with gold lettering." Huh. And I don't remember where that came from, right? Mm-hmm. That I did I dream that, or who told me? Somebody told me. And even then, I remember standing there going, "I don't remember why I'm supposed to, where it came from, but I just know I'm supposed to get this blue book with gold lettering." And I'm like, "And I'm pretty sure this isn't it, because it's volume 2, and it's supposed to be, but it's a big book just like this." And I'd seen it or heard it or something, and it must have been in a dream. I really didn't know then, and I still don't. But I just remember standing there pondering that book, and I just said to myself, "I'm going to buy it just in case. But I'm pretty sure this isn't the right blue book with gold lettering." Went ahead and I bought it, stuck it on my shelf, never really read it. Mm-hmm. And then I think I was a year or more into The Course in Miracles, I think it was after you had left and relocated back to Seattle. So mm-hmm. I'm running the group, and one day I'm sitting there looking at my bookshelf, and I see that book.
Wow. And
the whole memory came back, and I'm like, "Oh, shimmy crickets." You don't have to block
hey,
that.
Hey, good one.
I didn't swear, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Whoa, that book is in my shelf because – I was looking for the blue book with gold letters, and that's The Course in Miracles.
That's amazing.
So I had this opportunity.
Sometimes it takes more than one time. Yep. Yeah.
You know, I was like, wow.
I never heard that before. That's so cool.
Yeah. And I still have that book, and I remember it, you know, and I knew what it was, the Alice Bailey stuff. And I was just like, I don't think this is it, but I'm just going to buy it just in case. You know, it might be the one I'm supposed to be getting. I just know it's blue with gold letters. And I never knew, could remember clearly where that impulse came from. Holy Spirit guiding, you know. And then it was a couple of years, I think it was still early on, but it was probably a year or two into Course in Miracles, and I'm working with the book. And one day I look up and I'm looking at my bookshelf, and it was just like, oh my God.
Wow.
Wow, I was guided to buy the book 10 years ago and I didn't do it. Maybe that's why I went through all the drug addiction stuff I did, huh?
Who knows?
Who knows, right? But
the fact that you went through all that and, I mean, really saved yourself, which is why I just have the utmost respect for you and love for you. I've never heard of anyone as strong as you. And as beautiful hearted as you, just going through all that, as more of like, yeah, I did it. I learned a lot. You know, it's just that I was totally blown away. And, you know, I just want you to know that again. I think I've told you that, but yeah. You're an incredible guy. Really amazing. I hope you share more of your story at some point.
Well, a lot of it I can't share. No, I'm kidding.
It's top secret.
Interesting. It's been crazy. And you know, Dave up here, we got to hear some of his story. He's had an amazing story. The owner of this place, you know, Shasta mm-hmm. Mountain and Spa, he's had just an amazingly wild and crazy, just all, you know, just a kind of a true hippie that, you know, didn't have any money, lived kind of communally with a small group, traveled all over the world, Greece, Italy, you know, Beirut, United States in a van. I mean, did it, and had all kinds of experiences. And it's an interesting thing because I think sometimes it's like you look at that and it's that whole kaleidoscopic life that he can draw from and connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that is what makes that whole life prepped him to be able to do what he does here, which seems so simple. Mm-hmm. Post a bed on one level, but it's so beautiful on another level, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's what we all do. We bring the whole kaleidoscope of our experiences to this moment, and every relationship, you know, what was the quote that I read? You know, when you meet someone, remember it's a holy encounter. As mm-hmm. you see him, you will see yourself. And then you have this whole kaleidoscope of experiences that hopefully help you to connect more with this person and not judge them more, but to connect more, right? And to say, wow, I see you. And I've, you know, and I can understand that experience because I had this experience and whatever. And, you know, I can see your pain. I had this pain and we're all together in this. And you use that, all of that stuff as, you know, a way to connect with people.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why the course came into being. It was two coworkers that were not getting along and they wanted a different way to relate to each other in a more peaceful way. And that's how the course came about. That's how it was scribed because of that.
And I think when you look at stuff like that, it's so simple on that level, right? It's so simple and easy and pure and loving, and you don't have to worry about energy places. You don't have to worry about anything. It's a matter of loving compassion in the moment and forgiveness. Forgiveness is what leads you to that, right?
Yep.
Forgiveness is the tool that awakens that in you. So,
yeah, that's a good point. It's just a tool.
Yeah.
Temporary tool.
Right. And then, you know, as that becomes more vibrant and potent in your own heart and in your own process, it becomes easy and natural to share it with everybody else.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what you're saying or doing or where you are.
Or where you're at, yep.
Where you are physically, right?
Yep.
Even though being here in this place is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I know, yeah, exactly. And I know we're pretty much near the top of our hour. And you're in Shasta, and again, you're at the Shasta Mount Inn, ShastaMountInn.com. And I wanted to mention the place that I went to, that, and Mary and I love to go here in Sedona, and this is where I was given the Course in Miracles, and this was at the Center for the New Age in Sedona, and you can reach them at SedonaNewAgeStore.com. So always love going there. Great crystals, great people.
Cool, cool, cool.
And in my world,
Crystal Totem.
That's right. Yep. And then I think we're in the plug phase of the show, so I'm just going to mention once again, I have a book on Amazon.com called Forgiveness Inc., and it's all about applying A Course in Miracles at your corporate or work day job. Secret Spirituality at Work. Forgiveness Inc., and you can get that at Amazon.com.
Awesome, awesome.
Yep. And Sheldon, what's going on your end?
Still, running a Course in Miracles study group on Wednesdays, 7 to 9 p.m. California Pacific Standard Time. So, and we are getting that hooked up through Skype and all of that. So, Scott, if you're, you know, wanting to join and anybody else wanting to join, feel free to send me an email, ssj888@gmail.com. And we can get that all hooked up, and we're working with that. So that's kind of cool. And a new way to expand the reach and just have more people come in and share and join.
That's awesome. Yep. And I definitely will be joining you guys again soon. And for
we
those,
party hard.
Yeah, it's
we party
it is cool.
hard at our group.
it's a great group, and look forward for others to join it as well. And then for those listening, if you have any questions for Sheldon and I are about the show, you can reach us at info@ofcourseradio.com.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your time in Shasta, Mr. Sheldon.
Thanks, brother. Love you. Others.
Love you too, brother.
All right.
Okay. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Rock on.
Okay.